Right, welcome, buddy, to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering The Big D, Season 1, Episodes 1 and 2. Now, Chris, The Big D, this is almost like CD after Dark or something. this is a different series, isn't it? This is like a little bit of a filler for us in between kind of Love Island and Maths and whatever. Ten episodes to go, we managed to avoid all the spoilers. First thing is, what are your impressions about this one?
You know what? So we're covering the first two episodes. We're going to do two episodes, as you say, 10 episodes. We're going to do two episodes per podcast. So it'd be about five episodes for us personally. I think it's actually all right. It started off pretty well. I like the fact that everyone comes in all laughing and joking. And obviously, I have got the old skeptical hippo eyes, though, Dave, because how have these couples come about going on a reality TV show knowing that they're going to be going on with their exes? So how was that like pitched? So either one of them or both of them are with talent agencies and wants their little, you know, bit of screen time. So I'm always thinking how are these shows
100%.
They've not just gone into in America, they've not just gone into fucking Walmart or Best Buy and gone, do you fancy coming on this show? Are you divorced? Yeah, my husband's, he's over there, my ex-husband. Come on down there. So that's the only thing I'd say, but I do like the fact that when they first start off, you've got this weird thing as if they're still together, as if it's like Temptation Island. It does feel a little like Temptation Island, I must admit.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I was quite interested, but the mask soon fucking dropped with most of these contestants.
Yeah, I think you're on something there. Now, Chris, I sometimes give the producers a little bit of stick for being a bit too devilish, a bit too meddling, a bit too much, you know, and be kinder and whatever. For this case, Chris, I'm thinking be bigger C next Tuesdays, because I was kind of hoping that they all turned up and they all essentially thought this was, you know, a Love Island type thing. And didn't know that their divorced half was there. That's what was in my head. That's why I was like rubbing my hands thinking, oh, fucking hell, I couldn't think of anything worse. But, you know, it didn't sort of pan out like that. And 100%, they must have discussed this, whether it's through a talent agency or one of them has just said, you know, there's this advertised thing. And especially Chris Blair. When we get into Blair, I mean, it said, you know, she's into all her social media influencing and stuff, moved to LA. I'm like, oh, 100%, you've driven this one. But then I think, Blair is the guy, isn't it? It's Ariel, who's the girl.
Oh, the red
Blair,
hair,
I think Blair himself is, you look at his body and you think, yeah, you're probably an influencer as well, to be fair. But I thought it was good. And what I find interesting is, you know, and this is one I can speak with authority, Chris, because I can tell you I cannot think of anything fucking worse than being in something like this with my ex-wife. I mean, it would be horrendous. All of these are playing quite nice, I would say. But I'm sure there's plenty out there who, you know, it'd be a fucking car crash. What I'm surprised about, though, is in these discussions that they'll have had as part of the auditioning process and everything, is it seems like almost half of the couples, there's one half of them that will gladly get back together.
Yeah.
And not more so, Chris, and it didn't last very long. But when we get introduced to Brooke and Casey, like straight away from his VT, like, you know, it's clearly not worked out. Divorce is a long, fucking ugly process. So I don't quite, I guess when you got kids, it makes it more difficult and more drawn out. So maybe, you know, if it's just the 2 year, it's easier to do quicker. So maybe there are some unresolved things there. But I was surprised that both kind of Brooke, and I would say Ariel as well, they're both like, oh, this is just a means to rekindle our love on screen, kind of thing. I don't know what you felt about that. I was just surprised that was even being entertained by some of these couples.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Well, obviously, we've not watched it. I know we're in that position by doing this after it's been out. A lot of our listeners have probably watched it because we've had a few comments, and then a lot of people asking where can you watch it. It is available on Peacock via VPN, obviously, if you're outside the US and things like that. I can't find it on the UK TV, so it is a bit of a niche one that we're covering here. So I will say that Brooks starts off well, and obviously Casey bigs him up, doesn't she? She bigs him up at this, like, introducing him. But it doesn't help that Blair's there before. He looks like a fucking sort of magic bike. He's, like you said, he's got the absolute body of an Adonis. And then he comes out not giving a fuck, and he's budgie smugglers and he's dad bod. And they're okay. So at first I'm thinking, because I couldn't see the connection, but then I'm like, when they're together, you can see it, and she's very bubbly. But then you're right, Brooks completely triggers her. He's obviously kept her down. I don't, it's because of his own insecurities. And he 100% gaslights her. The way he speaks to her is not good, Dave. And you can see she's an emotional wreck as soon as he starts down that path, which he's obviously been on, the way he sort of picks her off and that. I wasn't liking that. And I was thinking, you two cannot be together at all. Whether you get with someone else or whatever, that's fine. But as a couple, they were the first ones where I was like, oh, there's a reason you two are not together. Because I think he's the one who's the toxic one. Off what we saw, I would say he was the toxic one.
Yeah, there's another couple that I want to, you know, if they are the Padawans, Chris, if they are the young Jedi, yeah. The Master, the Yoda, is part of a different couple, which we'll get onto. But I agree with you. You kind of look at them, Brooks and Casey, and you sort of say that, you know, there's, like you say, there is a reason. The only thing is, so skipping forward a bit to the second episode, or was it the first episode where he got booted off, and then the second episode they had a bit of a chat afterwards? He was obviously gutted, and I thought up to that point, I'm thinking, right, well, this is a good thing, because he's clearly, you know, doing the old Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance, and finally, you know, he's able to see it. She's like, you know, not interested. She's crying and whatever. You know, she doesn't necessarily want to see him go, but, you know, she's been part of that party that have voted him off. So he's absolutely gutted. You know, the stuff he was saying before about, you know, he was kind of getting quite angry, wasn't he? That she hadn't picked him to make him safe on the show, kind of thing. But then she says, after this, you know, we'll go and we'll do therapy. And I'm thinking, oh, for fuck's sake, you just fucked it there. You're able to get to that place where you probably both, you know, it's not something Brooks certainly wanted. He just wants to get back with her. But, you know, you can see that toxicity between them. And they finally got to that place. And then he's sailing off into the distance, and then she just throws him a fucking life raft, and it's like, oh, for fuck's sake. So we have no idea where this is going to go. I think for the show, I think he's definitely in the rearview mirror, because we get to see Dean come in, and she is very, very interested in Dean. But I don't know if you thought, had an opinion on that at all, but I just thought she fucked Brooks over really there, because by casting him off, you know, he could be pissed off about it, but he could lick his wounds and then move on with his life. And I just thought that was ridiculous what she said about going to basically like couples therapy with him.
Yeah, I don't know why you would do that. I don't understand what leverage or what the positive spin on that is. They're not together. He did, like you said, he did give a good speech when he was going, to be fair. You know, he's like, I want you to be happy, blah, blah, blah. You know, so maybe he, like I say, I'm only going off what we saw in that episode, but he didn't come across well, but his speech was nice at the end. But then, you know, Casey says, enjoy yourself, Dave, and Dean comes in and yeah, it's like, Brooks, who? Yeah, but they are together officially. So I will say it's a very strange concept, because like with Temptation Island, you've got the fucking iPad of doom, haven't you, where, you know, the fucking presenter takes great fucking thinking, oh, let's just watch these clips. And the clips can be completely out of
context. In Jordan and Jojo.
Yeah, exactly. They're completely out of context. A bit like Love Island. They do it, don't they, when they go to like Casa Amor and they'll show like someone kissing someone. Yeah, yeah. And it's never, sometimes it's never thing, is it? I mean, remember Teddy getting an absolute roasting off Faye, where they're not together anymore, actually, nowadays. We had a good go of it. Remember, and she went, you, and she knew straight away, she was like, you had a different shirt on there. It's not part of a game. And he was like, yeah, your officer is a fair cop. So I don't know. I don't know where Casey goes. She's now free to enjoy herself, do whatever she wants. But the line of the first episode for me, Dave, is another couple. So you've got Mims or David and Ali. He's some sort of American footballer. It's college or like, you know, he's on the pro thing. And I love the line when he says, well, I was in an open marriage. He said, the thing was, I just didn't know about it. And I was pissing myself. But I thought Ali was wrong because she turned that on him, her cheating with her ex, with him. We don't know the context of what's happened, but by the sounds of it, David or Mims hadn't cheated on her. I didn't understand that. I thought that she was just playing, you know, the PR game there, just trying to put it all back on him.
Yeah, you know what? It's really difficult, this one. And I don't know, I've put down Mims as well in my notes, but it was David, wasn't it? His name. Yeah, so I don't know if that's like a nickname or whatever. But I didn't like the way Ali came across at all, to be honest. It seemed to me that, you know, yeah, you're right. She was sort of blaming him. And, you know, she seemed quite open initially, you know, and some of the dialogue with David, she's like, you know, we are good together and this, that, and the other. And then she's telling other people, she's like, yeah, just don't really get turned on by him. Don't find him sexually attractive at all. And don't know what I'm with him for, to be honest. So I've found that all a bit weird. And, you know, again, so we talked about Brooks. He got booted off. Second person to go and get booted off was Ali. But I have to say, I think that was the right call.
Yeah, I do. I do as well, Dave. I think he's allowed, he can grow in this. He can, and he was quite interested in Casey, wasn't he, at one point? And then I think he was talking to Ali, what's the influencer girl? Sorry, Ariel as well. He was talking to her when she was in the pool. She has got so many scars because obviously we found out that Blair had actually cheated on her. Blair did this massive speech about honesty and that, and then they panned to him on the VT and he went, I was just not a good husband. I've cheated on her. It's not good what I did, blah, blah, blah. I want to be happy. But I don't think he wants to go back there. But I think, like you said, Ariel does. You know, she wants to go back there. I mean, is she called Ariel because of her hair, Dave? Because of the mermaid? Is it a fake name? I don't know.
Yeah, just let's put a pin in Ariel, so to speak, just for the moment. I just want to finish off with Ali because she absolutely told the wrong person, though, didn't she?
Yeah.
So it was Cassie, wasn't it? Who she told that basically she doesn't find him sexually attractive. And this is why season two and onwards are not ever really as good as the first season. Because let's face it, right? Cassie has got rid of her ex-husband. She's also kind of got rid of Ali as well. Because she went off to like speak to other people, didn't she? About, you know, oh, Ali said this and Ali said that. So really, she's kind of, you know, mixed it up a bit there, hasn't she? She kind of really made sure that when the boys made a decision about who should go, that they knew that she'd had this conversation, that she doesn't find David attractive at all. So, yeah.
Clever. It's clever.
Fair play.
I agree. I agree. And I did like the way when Brooks went, the honesty of like, how you delivered it. It was one of the girls delivered it. I thought she was great the way she delivered it. I think it was Alexis, I think. I'm sure she delivered it really well, dead honest, dead in front, this is why you're going, and that was it. And then the guys did the same with Ali, you know, it was, I think it was right to do that. I mean, there's another couple who've sort of gone under the radar, I think Gillian and David. They didn't really do much, did they? Gillian, as a couple, they seem quite happy together as friends, but I don't know.
I don't know. That's weird for me. Like, for Gillian, seems like that seems a definite Temptation Island thing.
Yeah.
For me, the way she is really not happy, because David was off on, he went off on a few dates, didn't he?
Mm.
And then she had a face like a slapped arse on her. She just did not like that at all. So again, I'm questioning, like, well, why, if you harbor all these kind of closeted feelings, why did you get divorced in the first place?
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? It's weird.
Yeah.
And how you come to this segue, this fucking pathway in your life that you're going to go on a reality show? I don't know. Because all your scars are there for that relationship. If you were going on there to find love, you'd hide it all, wouldn't you? Or you go in there with the experience of going, well, I'm not going to be treated like that again, or I'm not going to put up with that, or I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, you know, but it's all there. And the fact that, you know, they're supposed to help them get with someone, but they're not. And I've purposely, Dave, I'll be honest with you, I've purposely left off talking about, which I think is one of the worst contestants on the show. As you've got the couple, Dee Dee and Fakor, or as I like to call him, Dave, Fucker. Because what an absolute knob he is. The first thing he tells everyone, you know, Will, have I ever, the fucking Love Island game, has anyone ever had an orgy? more than three people? Right. Oh, like, how old are you? You know, I mean, when they get married and it shows them, like, he looks completely different. He's obviously on gear now, but I don't think he's a nice person at all. And I think he triggers Dee Dee completely. She was going off with Blair once. There was a connection there with them. It seems dead nice, and the way they would talk about each other. And he fucking hated every minute of it, basically. And he even admitted that, do as I say, not as I do. He's a serial cheat.
Yeah.
And he's just not a nice person. And every time he had a conversation with someone, it was always so negative and, like, basically just trying to put a wedge. So I do not like that guy. I think as much as Brooks went because of the conversation, but I think he needs to go, this guy. He's not a good person.
Yeah. I can't think of anyone worse in terms of just toxic masculinity. Did you see his proper, like, fucking trucker's tan as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think he's a bonkers person to have on any kind of reality TV. And I think Dee Dee's a fucking saint, the way she, like, she's accepting of him, but he's a fucking man baby, Chris. He's just, like you say, he's a fucking serial cheat. She hasn't actually done anything other than have a chat to other people, but he's acting like she's the one who's the serial cheat. I think this guy is one of the worst gaslighters I think I've seen. And in a small amount of episodes, obviously, you know, it could evolve and he could change. I fucking doubt it. But, you know, just going off these first two episodes, and obviously you're trying to get to know all of the couples, aren't you? But for me, he was definitely the villain of the piece. He was the worst one. And to the point where you're like, this sort of isn't entertainment anymore. Like, you like to see the drama and the fucking arguing and all this, but I really didn't like the boundary that it stepped over for me, where it's like, yeah, there's a duty of care somewhere here as well.
Yeah, yeah, there is. And that's where, Dave, these sort of shows, nobody gives a fuck, do they? The duty of care just goes out the window, because the more chaotic, the more nastiness, the more, you know, cheating. Well, it's not even cheating, because they're not really together, but they are reliant on people's emotional scars with their ex-partners, telling a story, bringing us as the audience in. To be honest with you, Dave, I don't know how it pans out, and there might be people listening going, it's not that good or whatever, but I'm in on this show already. I'm like, I wanted to record and I want to watch the next couple of episodes, because I just think the preview at the end of the episode, I was like, holy fuck. And these episodes are only an hour long with breaks, 45 minutes. Really 45 minutes. So it's like they show a lot in what's going to come, and it looks fucking chaos. And that's exactly what I fucking want.
Yeah, it absolutely is, isn't it? So, again, it's a season one, though, isn't it? You know, where they don't really know what the rules are. Obviously, there was a lot of problems with production and getting this to the TV, wasn't there? So it's this. I can't wait to get through these episodes, to be honest, to find out where they actually are now, because it's probably a year or even longer after this. And what I did find interesting as well, Chris, is I think in particular it was Gillian and David, wasn't it, who cited the pandemic being the main reason they got divorced. So I guess, you know, I guess there is that exception. I mean, I haven't looked at divorce statistics, but I would imagine in and around the pandemic, there probably was a spike, you know. So especially if you've been together for a few years, or let's say not if it's like north of 10, but sort of less than that, you're just not used to spending that amount of time with people. And so, you know, I could imagine that there could be people out there who, in this bonkers world that it was for a couple of years, you know, where, well, it wasn't even that long in a lot of the American states, was it? But, you know, you completely locked down, you cooked up, you know, potentially not able to work as well. Maybe, you know, it's worth exploring getting back together for that couple, but I would say that's like 0.0001% or something like that. So of these couples, do you see any kind of future with any of them?
Not really, because I think you've hit the nail on the head. The actual hook on this is somebody in the relationship wants to get back with him, with the other one. Fakor wants to get back with Dee Dee. Ali and Mims, well, it was, I think David would have got, but Mims would have got back, but she's gone. Casey and Brooke, I think Brooke would have. Alexis and Devon would. And then you've got Gillian and David. So I don't know. I think maybe Gillian's one, as you said, she had a face like thunder. So it's weird. And Ariel wants to get back with Blair. So there's that hook all the time. That's where the drama's going to come. I can't see anybody, Dave. I really can't. I think the ones who are not interested have just completely moved on. They're just like, I don't want to be with you, whether they like them or they want to be happy. That's it. And that's what I think the shithouse producers have fucking brought to the table. that emotional scarring. They just want to open that fucking wound up with a shank and just fucking make it wider and wider. The fucking bastards, Dave, and I am here for it.
So I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit. I think if there is one couple, it could be Alexis and Devon, because they sort of signed to, they were only married for a year, but it seemed to be that, was it Alexis's mum or something that was meddling quite a lot in the relationship. Now, I'm not saying for the long haul, but maybe, you know, as part of this, I mean, it's basically like a holiday romance setting, isn't it? Again, you know, you've got lovely scenery and everything. So I think if any of these do kind of rekindle something, it'll be Alexis and Devon. Obviously, probably first thing in episode 3, it'll probably all crash and burn. But no, and obviously we've got new people coming in as well. So mentioned about Casey and Dean. I mean, that seems to be a holiday romance sort of thing to me at the moment, you know. And I think Casey's almost marking the territory a little bit, because quite a lot of the girls, you talk about great bodies, Chris, fucking hell, shredded, isn't he? Yeah. You know, so a few of the girls took a shine to him, but, you know, Casey was making it clear that she was the one who was going to make a mark on him. So, yeah. I can't wait, Chris.
It's been good, mate. It's been good. I didn't like Fakor, though, calling Dean a bloody pimp. That was just completely unnecessary. It's like, are you that threatened, mate? Are you threatened? You know, just, it's just being bitchy for me, just telling. So, Dean seems to enjoy himself, and he does seem slightly older. It seems like he's maybe same age as us, mid-40s. The only others seem mid-30s, so... there is something there between them, but I agree with you. I think it's just a holiday romance. Let's see, because there must be others coming in, Dave, as it gets on, because it's difficult. That how are you going to know that your ex-partner is, you know, how are they going to be compatible? Basically, you've not got a massive choice. Not like Love Island, where you might have 20 girls come in, say you're there for the 2 months, 20 guys come in over the 3-2 month period. You've got a set at the moment. You've got 5 people to choose from, haven't you? So it's difficult.
I mean, let's face it, as a premise, I mean, it's fucking bobbins, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just, they've probably got divorced because there's a massive fucking breakdown in communication, and all the things that they thought they liked about this person years back, they probably fucking hate right now. So when you're trying to help them, you know, in their other relationships, if we go with the premise of the show, it's not going to fucking work, you know. Just say, you know, hypothetical hypothetical ex-wife, Chris, just stop being such a fucking bell end and they might like you.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. But wait, but
stop fucking moaning at him. Right. And he might fucking listen to you.
Is there anything you want to talk about, Dave? Or
no, definitely
right.
not.
Right. Anyway. Thank you. We are episode one down. So we're going to be covering episode 3 and 4. We're going to try and get these done in the next 2 or 3 weeks because, I like I say, I'm predicting this. I mean, I've got a holiday coming again. They mean you. Everyone's listening to us going, fuck me. How many times have these guys went older? But it's mainly me than you. Isn't it? I'm terrible. Yeah. Always. It helps
Michael
that.
Palin.
Yeah, yeah, it helps that I get 40 days holiday every year now, Dave. They're just throwing holidays at me. It's like, well, why wouldn't I? In fact, it's actually 42, Dave, but who's counting? Do you know what I mean?
How do you fucking work? How do you get anything done?
How do you sleep at night? But anyway, quite well, actually, Dave.
People listening from the US especially are going to be like, fucking 10 days here.
You know, I feel so sorry for people in the US. You know, I've always wanted to live in America. And it was a big thread on Twitter about how you have to recruit sick days and holidays. And I'm like, I don't think I can move. I've got an American sleeve, Dave, but that's about it. But anyway, let's call stop to this one, Dave, and let's come back very soon on episode 3 and 4. And I want to thank everyone, as always. Loads of suggestions, guys. Thank you for the people asking where it is. Like I say, it's Peacock via VPN. I couldn't find it on the usual stuff like YouTube, Daily Motion, but I will have a look for you guys that have been asking. I have noticed that today. So if you want to email us, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. As always, if you do want to support us, please get over to patreon.com/cdrealitycast. And just for the roll call of honor, big thanks to Charlene and over on Facebook, Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We're getting steadily people joining every single day. So come and join the page, guys. We just approve you. You're in then. And then we've got links to shows, conversations there. The private messaging stuff is brilliant because that's got everyone chatting, spoilers, different things going on. It's all done friendly and it's been, you know, touch wood, we've never had any fallouts as far as I can see, Dave. So thank you so much for that, guys. I really appreciate everyone's effort keeping it, you know, keeping everyone happy and spoiler free and a lot of the stuff. So the roll call of honor is Kent Gustafson, Looking in the Green, Lauren, Susan, Dee Dee, Libby, Joanna, Noreen, Chloe, Helen, Keith, Gillian, Maggie, Kate, Megan, Cassie, Fiona, Emma, Nicola, Macy, Helen, Larissa, Amanda, Kim, Caroline, and our newest Patreon, Danielle. So thank you so much and welcome, Danielle. We do appreciate everyone who supported us, past and present. So, Mr. Horrocks, it is time for us to go.
Thank you, sir. Thanks to all our listeners. Thanks to all our supporters. And I'll speak to you next time.
Bye.